So I'd like to start today by reading this very familiar proverb to you that's on the board here. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now we're very familiar with that proverb. It's Proverbs 16, verse 18, very wise saying. It's also a warning to us that we as Christians must guard against having an inflated view of ourselves or having arrogance in ourselves, something we always need to watch out for. I think we can agree that pride is a proclivity of the human heart, meaning we're prone to be prideful or think more of ourselves than we should. And I think you'd also agree that since the beginning of mankind's time on earth, this has been an issue. This has been a problem where man has lifted himself up above the purposes of God, thought he had the better solution other than what God was giving him. So this is always something that's been a struggle for mankind, and it is a struggle for all of us, isn't it? As we live in this world, which does not look to God as we do. And it is possible, I think you'd also agree, that we can get puffed up at times in our own thinking and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And if you look all through scriptures, there's many warnings and teachings about this to remind ourselves of how we need to look at ourselves and take a humble approach. Obviously, as you see the amount of scriptures about this subject, you realize God really wants us to get this point. You might remember the Corinthian church. I think you realize that Corinthian church had a struggle with being puffed up, being arrogant, thinking of themselves better than they ought. And they allowed certain things among themselves that shouldn't have been, and they also had divisions among themselves because of ambition and self-promotion. Those are familiar themes we rehearse every year at the Passover time or around that time, but really it's a theme to look at that we all need to watch out for. Every one of us has to watch out for ourselves being self-promoting, thinking of ourselves more than we should, that we all of us should know, we need to know our place before God. And we need to seek first not to be lifted up, but to be humbled. God wants us to take a humble approach, and then in due time, he lifts us up to the place that he wants us. A humble mind in you is essential for the unity in the church of God. I think you would agree with me there that unity is made possible by the fact that we're all working together, having a humble approach and having a humble mind, working with one another, bearing with one another in love. In his ministry, Jesus Christ confronted very often pride and hypocrisy, as we well know, and it came to light in numerous ways, especially through the way he was confronted by the religious hypocrisy of his day. I'd like to start out in the scriptures with a parable. It's over in Luke chapter 14. If you would turn with me there to Luke chapter 14. By the way, I'm going to ask our sound guy something. I noticed we had a microphone on. You did. Do I need that microphone as well, or is that not essential? Okay, very good. Okay. So Luke chapter 14 is a familiar parable to us, as Jesus is teaching us not to be wise in our own eyes as he's confronting the hypocrisy of his day. In verse 7 there, of Luke 14, and so he told a parable to those who were invited. Now, this was a Sabbath day gathering in the house of a leading Pharisee, and he noted those who were invited, how they chose the best places. So he said to them this, verse 8 then, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you And he who invited you and him come to you and say, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. So we see the reason he gave this parable, because he was noting how they were choosing for themselves the best places, probably thinking, you know, I'm one of the leaders here. I should be sitting right here in this place. And that's where they went in and sat down in those best places. So we use this as a parable, a lesson for us. And this paints a picture, because we can see ourselves in this story. We could think of this story and see ourselves in it. And God wants a different attitude than what he observed here among these who were taking the best place. He wants a different attitude from us, not on our own recognition, seeking to show how good we are, but he wants us to take a lower place, take the lowest place. As he says in verse 10, but when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place. In the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. And then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. This is the right attitude that God wants to see in us, where we humble ourselves first and let him lift us up when the time is right. This is the essential, actually, for our salvation, that we approach our life in this way. For whoever exalts himself, verse 11, will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, God is the one who will show the honor in his time. In this parable, he is the one who is inviting us to a wedding feast. And the lesson for us is to walk humbly before God and not have that inflated view of ourselves, not thinking of ourselves more than we ought. Now, this is a very good lesson for us to be reminded of, and the parable is quite beautiful, and it is a good way for us to remember this lesson. So the title here is Take the Lowest Place. Take the Lowest Place, the title of the message, and this message is to teach us to be humble and let God lift us up. Not ourselves, but let God do the honor of lifting us up. This parable explains that to us, because we really have no power of ourselves to do anything good. We have to admit that. There's nothing good in ourselves, and we must be humble before God. And when we do that, he will raise us up at his time. God tells us, take the lowest place, and he will call us up to go higher. And we could look at this parable in the context of our lives now, because where are we now in this world? We're in what you might say is the lowest place. We're dwelling in flesh and blood. But someday, when God, his plan comes to fruition, as we heard in the sermonette, he will call us up to go higher into the glory of his kingdom. So we could look at this parable as a picture, as a snapshot of our entire lives, as the way we ought to look at ourselves. At a future time, when he sees fit, he will say to us, friend, go up higher. We're being invited to a great feast. We're being invited to this wedding feast. And we are in the lowest place. This is where God wants us to go. We're in that place now, if you will, in this flesh and blood. And that is to be our mindset, to take that lowest place and not lift ourselves up, but let God do that for us. Now, I'm sure you've been to a wedding where the bride and the groom have made the arrangements for the seating at the reception. You've been to a wedding like that, and you have to go into the reception room and you look around and you find out where your name is. And when you get there, has it ever occurred to you, well, why am I this far away from the head table? Has that thought occurred? Well, I know. I've thought that too when I've been to a wedding like that. Look, the head table's way over there, and here we are over here. But then you think, wait, the bride and the groom made that choice. They put us here for a reason. And then you might look around at the table and say, why did he put me with all of these people here at this table? And we can look at ourselves and say, well, God has put us in the place where he wants us. And the bride and the groom thought this carefully through before the wedding, and they decided that that's where you would sit. And so what you should do is what we do is we humbly take that place wherever we are appointed. And that's an analogy we could look at, a real life analogy we could look at in relation to this parable about taking the lowest place. So God's word teaches us in so many ways to come under his authority, to be humble to him and compliant as he leads us to the place where he sees fit. And many scriptures instruct us in this. And what they tell us is that we are to be humble before God, not thinking of ourselves more than we ought, and then let him lift us up in due time. There's another parable that Christ used to teach this same lesson. It's also in Luke. We'll just go there now. It's in Luke chapter 18. If you would, come over to Luke 18. Same lesson, really, in this parable, talking about two people who went up to the temple. And remember this story well, this parable well. It's in verse 9 of Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 9. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So here again is the reason for the parable, where they're thinking of themselves more than they ought. So he says, two men went up to the temple to pray, verse 10. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You know the story very well. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not even like this tax collector. As you could picture him seeing the tax collector there. I'm not like that. Well, the tax collectors of that day were really, in a sense, kind of maybe considered the lower class or the lowest level of society. They were collaborators with the Roman government. And they were collecting taxes on behalf of the Roman occupying authority. And it's known that tax collectors now and then took a cut for themselves. That's the reason they were despised. And this is the reason this one who thinks of himself as righteous looks at that tax collector and says, you know, I'm glad I'm not like that. So he's exalting himself here, thinking of himself more than he thought, more than he should. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. You know, he's doing all these good things, and we could look at ourselves and we could perhaps check off all the things that we're doing right before God. But God wants a humble attitude from us, not just that we're doing all the right things, but a humble approach. We could promote ourselves just like this Pharisee. But the tax collector, as the story continues, verse 13, standing afar off, you might say, in the lowest place, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew his place before God. And that's the first point. I'll make a few points here. This is the first one. Know your place before God. Know your place. And this tax collector knew his place. Knew what he was. knew what he had done. This shows an attitude that we must have. We need to know our place before God. We need to see ourselves as we truly are and understand the good in us doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from God. Anything good in us comes from God. And so Jesus continues the parable here in verse 14. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The same lesson that he just taught. We read that in Luke 14, that other parable, that first one about the wedding feast. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now that tax collector is really picturing the mercy of God. As he realizes who he is, he approaches God and he comes to repentance. Now you may remember another story of another tax collector, also in Luke, about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? It's in Luke 19. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And he is despised because he is representing the Roman authority. And he is perhaps known to take his own cut. So it's interesting to me, as I read through the scriptures, that Christ gives this parable. It seems in the sequence of events, not long before he encounters a tax collector who is coming to repentance. Beautiful story, you know the story where Christ is passing through Jericho and he sees Zacchaeus up in a sycamore tree. I think it does say a sycamore tree. You could actually go to Jericho today. And some of us have been to Israel, and there is in Jericho the sycamore tree, supposedly, that Zacchaeus climbed up. Well, don't really know that for sure, but it is a pretty old tree, and you could see it there. It's in Jericho on the main street. So that beside the point, but there he is. He climbs up in this tree, and what does Christ say? Come down. Come down. And he does, right away. And I thought, well, as I'm reading that story, it shows that he is eager to come down to the low place. And I thought, maybe that kind of fits with taking the lowest place where he wants to immediately come to that place when Christ calls him. He comes down right away. And the people thought, well, he's going to go eat with this despised tax collector, as Christ says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house, as you read there in the story in Luke 19. And they thought, wow, he's going to go eat with this despised person. But what does Zacchaeus do? He stands there. In verse 8, he says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. So he realizes who he was, comes to that lowest place, comes down, and he repents. He announces his repentance. And Christ says, today, verse 9, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A beautiful story of a despised tax collector who comes down from that tree and repents. And immediately salvation comes to his house. It's a good story. And it reminds us of what we need to have, a humble attitude when it comes to looking at ourselves and realizing that we don't have anything good of ourselves, but anything good comes from God, anything we have. And Paul, the apostle, understood this quite well. I know we're very familiar with Romans 7, and I'm so glad he put this in the scriptures. He said, I know in me that as in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Paul wrote that. I am very glad that he wrote that, because I look at myself sometimes and I'm wondering, there's nothing good here. And Paul is saying the same thing, the Apostle Paul, the same thing. Where does that goodness come from? It comes from God himself, not from ourselves. And doesn't this show the attitude that Jesus Christ also had? That he never gave himself the credit for any good that was in him. Now, he was sinless, but who did he give the credit to? I can of myself do nothing, Christ said. But as I hear from my Father, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that's John 5, verse 30. He always gave his Father the credit and said, the good that is in me has come from the Father. And that's what God wants us to see. Know our place before him. Know our place before God. That was the first point. And then, when the time is right, God will exalt us. So let God exalt you in due time. That's the second point. In Christ's parable here, that we've started off with in Luke 14, of the wedding feast and the guests that came and sat down in the high place, in the best places, that's very, very similar to a proverb of Solomon. Let's go look at that proverb. It's in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And when we read this, you'll see, yes, that's almost identical to what Jesus Christ talked about in that parable. Proverbs 25. The parable of the wedding feast and being invited to the feast, taking the best place, but telling us, take the lowest place. Take the lowest place. Verse 6 of Proverbs 25. Verse 6. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For the king is the authority. Not you. God is the authority, not you. The great is God himself. In this, you could look at this parable and say, the great is God himself. He is the one who created you, who gave you life, and he put you in this place for now, and you must look to him in a humble attitude. When we look at ourselves with the right understanding, we let God exalt us in his time. As verse 7 says, for it is better that he say to you, come up here. It sounds a lot like that parable that Christ was giving in Luke 14. Come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Again, think of this in the light of our salvation, that we are now looking for the kingdom to come. We're still in the flesh. We're still in this lowest place. And when the time is right, we want to hear him say, come up here and inherit the kingdom. We want to be in the higher place, because that is an honor, but it is an honor that comes when God gives it, not when we appropriate it for ourselves. Because when we promote ourselves, it is seen for what it is, self-promotion. Thinking about this, you imagine yourself getting a speeding ticket and going into the court, and you stand before the judge and you say, you know, Your Honor, before the judge says anything, you say, I am a good driver. I have driven without tickets for 30 years, always obey the rules, and I believe this officer was not understanding of my very good record. And you can imagine how the judge would take that. It's not going to go well. The judge is going to put you in your place. So it's kind of like this parable, I thought, a story I could give, or a scenario that if you, when you appear in court before the judge, you give him the honor. You don't take it from him and make yourself and promote yourself, but you let the judge tell you what your place is. Let's look at a few more Proverbs, because Proverbs is actually full of instruction about this, about having the right approach, a humble approach. And verse 27 here, same chapter, verse 27. It says, Proverbs 25, verse 27, "It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory." To seek your own glory, that's not glory. You know, when I was a kid, if I ate too much candy, I really didn't feel well after that. You know, if you ate too much honey, as the proverb goes, you're not going to feel well. Your stomach is going to feel kind of gross. And that's what seeking your own glory is like. It looks bad. It's seen for what it is. And the end result of self-promotion is never good. But Christians are called to be humble. We're called to be meek. And one day, the meek, as the scripture says, will inherit the earth. It's Matthew 5, verse 5. The meek shall inherit the earth. Let's look at a few more Proverbs, chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 12. A good one here. Verse 12 of Proverbs 18. "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Before the honor comes is humility. In today's world, we see mankind lifting itself up against God. And I think we can all agree that we are seeing more and more a disrespect for authority in our world today. It's very sad to see. And mankind, we know, thinks that it can solve its problems. It will look for those solutions, and they will end up in destruction. Because man is lifting himself up against God, not looking to God, not being humble before him, then this is really, I think, the condition of man really since the beginning. Since the beginning of his issues, think of his problems, thinking of himself better than God. Another one, and a couple more in Proverbs. Proverbs 22 in verse 4. "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." That's a very good one. That's how you not only inherit eternal life, but also how to make your way through life now, by humility and fear of the Lord. In this life, you'll see those blessings come when you take that approach. And then the blessing of eternal life in his kingdom will come. But exalting ourselves, promoting ourselves, it's seen for what it is. It does not look good. Not to others, if not to others, then certainly to God. One more proverb in verse 2 of chapter 27. Chapter 27 of Proverbs in verse 2. So you see all these instructions about having the right approach, having a humble approach. Verse 2 of Proverbs 27, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth." You know, don't promote yourself, but let another man's lips praise you, a stranger, and not your own lips. Well, God sees the good that you do. He sees what you do. You don't have to promote yourself and say, I'm doing all these good things, because God sees those things. So know your place and let God lift you up in due time. And now let's look at one more thing. Third point, that when you have a humble approach, your humility builds the church. It edifies the church. A humble approach, your humility edifies the church. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Familiar verse from the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, as he tells us to be submissive one to another. Be humble to one another. Verse 5, likewise of 1 Peter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, not just you younger people, but all of you, all of us, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And therefore, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So this approach of this humble attitude builds a church. It's what's necessary for unity in the church. If you want to be great in the church, what does Christ say? Become a servant to all. Let's look at that. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. To become great, become least. It's great to be least. Verse 11 of Matthew 23. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And verse 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now that's the third time we've read that statement today. We've read it in Luke 14, Luke 19, and here in Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Christ, three times in the scriptures, is basically saying the exact same thing in three different scenarios. And so we know it must be very important. If you want to be great, be the least. And Paul the Apostle is a classic example of this, where his humility built the church or helped edify the church. Even today, the church is edified by the work of Paul. All that he did, all that he went through, all that he suffered, all that was for the church, to be a servant to all. And we see the effect of that, how it has built the church even today from the example of Paul. Let's look at what he says. Romans 12. Romans 12, Paul's explanation, his teaching about being humble, knowing our place. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say, he says, for I say through the grace given to me. Now, Paul was speaking as one who really knew. Because of all that he had been through, he knew. I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so knowing your place before God. For we, verse 4, have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. That humble attitude, knowing our place, keeps the unity, keeps the body together, each doing their part. Let's look at another familiar verse in Ephesians about how unity is built by your humility. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the Apostle Paul, who knows what he's talking about, he was a servant to all. I therefore, verse 1 of Ephesians 4, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In what manner? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Your humility edifies and builds up the church. This is the mind of Christ that we are to have. As Paul said elsewhere, regarding the mind of Christ, next book, Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And what did he do? He took the lowest place. He let go of his glory, and he took the lowest place. Came in the form of a man with no reputation. He wasn't born into wealth or status, but he came as a bondservant in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So his humility has built the church. And remember, everyone, Christ says, who humbles himself will be exalted. And therefore, verse 9, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He's in the highest place because he took the lowest place. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He took that lowest place by the will of God. He knew his place before God, always gave God the credit, and in due time, God lifted him up to the highest place, and his humility has built the church. So know your place before God. Give him the credit for any good that's in you. Don't exalt yourself to others, thinking of yourself higher than you ought. That doesn't earn you any rewards with God, and that's what Scripture tells us in very many places, some of which we looked at today. Let God exalt you in due time. When the time is right, he will. Walk before him in this life, as we are now in the lowest place, if you will, in the sense that we're in the flesh. The time will come when he will say, friend, come up here. Come up here. That's what we're looking for. And remember that your humility edifies the church. So walk worthy of your calling, brethren. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity in the spirit of the Spirit and the bond of peace. When you're invited to a wedding, you come at the bidding of your host. You get that invitation in the mail, and you come at the bidding of the host. And you go and sit where the host seats you. And that parable in Luke 14 about being invited to that wedding is for us, because we are all being invited to a great feast in the kingdom of God. And he invites us to come now to the wedding and sit down in the lowest place. The one he has reserved for you. The one he's reserved for us. And like that humble tax collector who beat his breast before God, we know our place. We must know our place. So when you're invited, as this parable says, you go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, "Friend, go up higher," and then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. It's a beautiful story, brethren. We could picture ourselves in it. So take the lowest place, as Christ did, for our example. Sit down there and let him exalt you in due time.